Welcome to the Femme Fiction Podcast. My name is Daphne, and I'm the author of Dirty Butter. Be forewarned, Dirty Butter does contain adult content. Choose when and where to listen accordingly. If you're interested in purchasing any of my four books, they are available at Amazon.com or at my website, DaphneDucette.com. Thank you for listening. Now let's get on to the final episode of Dirty Butter. Julie looked at herself in her visor mirror as she sat in her car outside Christina's house. She wondered when it had all changed for her. When was the precise moment that she became hell-bent on revenge? She figured she had finally had all the humiliation one person could handle, and the sharp snap of the visor popping back into place was the exclamation point to her conclusion. She leaned back against the headrest and did a quick mental ticker tape count of all the men who had had a turn with a chisel used to chip away at any notion of self-value that she might have developed had someone taken the time to nurture it in her. Her father, her grandfather, her husband, and now her only brother. Each and every one of them had let her down in their own way, in their own time. It was the only time they were consistent. But she didn't really blame them. She blamed the women that were always on hand, the ones that made them forget her and hurt her and then forget her some more. They were responsible. Julie decided that she had been at the mercy of other women for long enough. She imagined that she could see her heart beating against her smooth carnation pink silk blouse. The rush of pumping blood beat against her eardrums ruthlessly and without apology. She had waited for this moment. She had planned for this moment. And she could think of nothing else anymore. Not even little Justin. Little Justin, who she was sure would someday break her heart like every other man she had known and loved. Julie got out of her car, aware of nothing other than the house that stood before her. In that house was her chance to make right all of the wrongs that had been committed against her. In that house was restitution. And if she was lucky, maybe even a little restoration for her wounded soul. What are you doing here?
Hello, Christina. May I come in?
I don't know why you're here, Julie, but I haven't seen Timothy since the night we all showed up at the same fundraiser. May I come in? I'd like to talk to you. I'm on my way out.
To meet Matt?
Christina did not attempt to hide her puzzlement, which quickly gave way to realization.
So, you know Matt, huh?
He's my brother. Resolutely, Christina stepped aside and said, "Come on in." Julie stepped into the house and looked around. It was a large house and well kept. Julie was a little surprised. She didn't figure Christina for the domestic type. She followed Christina to the living room in silence, and neither of them spoke until they sat across from each other on opposite sofas. Christina spoke first.
"So, is playing the old switcheroo how you get your kicks?"
"Well, it's better than the way you get yours."
"Ah, so you've developed some pluck since we last met. Interesting."
"We all have to change sometime, Christina."
Christina didn't miss the irony, and she almost smiled as she considered it.
"What is it that you want from me, Julie?"
"I'm here to save you from your selfish, twisted excuse for a life."
Julie laughed in a way that completely grated against her actual personality.
No, I'm toying with you."
Julie had reworded a phrase from Christina's end of their first tete-a-tete, a conversation Julie had committed to memory and Christina had never given a second thought. "I'm just here to avenge myself."
"And how did you think you'd accomplish that, Julie? By tricking me into sleeping with your little brother so that he could hurt me? What, like Timothy hurt you?"
Pathetic women never fail to sicken Christina.
"After meeting me, did you really think that would happen? Did you really think some little punk could hurt me?"
"I did. I was naive. I'll give you that. But I'm persistent. And I think I may have finally hit you with a blow that counts by making that call to Lawrence about your Canal Street afternoons."
"Was that your plan from the beginning? To tattle on me to my husband? You've had months to plan this out, Julie, and that's the best you could come up with?"
"No, it just fell into my lap, and I capitalized on it. By the way, Christina, you can play as tough as you want, but I know how you feel about your husband, and I know he left you."
"Okay. So you know I'm as alone as you are. Are you satisfied?" Are you feeling vindicated? Is this going to make Timothy fall in love with you again and cause him to treat you the way you deserve to be treated, Julie? No, but I don't care about Timothy anymore. I'm doing this for more reasons than him. Do you have any idea at all how many women you have damaged by your actions? No, I don't, Julie. And frankly, neither do you. But that life is over for me. Just when you decided to trash my life, I had decided to change it. You change? Who are you kidding? You are a whore and you will always be a whore. Christina heard those words all the way down to her core, and they echoed in her head in Granny Alma's voice. For a moment, all thoughts of change went out the proverbial window. She lunged across the coffee table, knocking Julie's purse to the floor and knocking Julie across the face. Julie scrambled to the floor into the contents of her purse, which had fallen all about, and took hold of what she was looking for. Christina's eyes widened as she came face to face with Julie's 22. Are you ready to listen to what I have to say? I mean, really listen, Christina, because I'm speaking for a lot of people. It's obvious you have my attention, Julie. You are a selfish, evil whore, and you're a thief. You take more than other women's husbands. You ravage our hopes, our confidence, and our security. You rob us of all that we have and then behave as though it's just an unavoidable byproduct of what you do and therefore not important. You even absolve yourself by saying it's our husband's fault because they are the ones that owe us something. But it's your responsibility too, Christina. See, you owe us something too. We deserve simple respect from you, woman to woman. What gives you the right to bulldoze your way over our lives and then say, oh, well, guess you married a cheater. What kind of monster does that? Me, Julie, I did it. And for what it's worth, I know you're right. I did all those things and worse. Just recently, I came to grips with it and I am sorry. Oh, no, you don't. You're not going to play me. Get up. Go sit at the dining room table. Christina followed her instructions and sat down at the head of the table. What are you going to do now? With an unsteady laugh, she continued, you're not going to shoot me. You don't know what I'm going to do. Where do you keep writing paper? Writing paper? Damn it, Christina, stop stalling. It's in the top kitchen drawer next to the refrigerator. Okay, I'll get it. Don't move. Julie felt as though someone were writing her actions one step ahead of her, and all she had to do was follow the plan as it was being laid out. Truth is, she had no clue of what she was doing, or how far she would go. Julie tossed a pad and pen onto the table in front of Christina. What are we going to do, Julie? Swap recipes? Sarcasm had seen her through a lot of difficult situations, and even now she could not resist falling back on what was familiar. What would you say if you were about to die? What? Let me be clearer. What would you write if you were about to kill yourself? Kill myself? Julie, you can't be serious. I haven't been with your husband since before you and I met. I told you then I had no interest in him beyond that brief time. And I told you that this is not about him anymore. This is about all the women you've trampled on. Hell, this is about me. Julie turned and walked toward the kitchen, but turned around to face Christina when she resumed speaking. You know, when I was a child, I listened to my father. When I was in school, I listened to the nuns. When I became an adult, I could only listen to the fear that had become as much a part of me as my skin, my breath, as the beat of my own cowardly heart. Fear became my guide, my ruler, but not anymore. I don't feel any fear right now, Christina, and I like it. Is this how you get to feel? I mean, is this how you feel all the time? In control and not caring about anything but yourself? Because if it is, I could see how you could get addicted to this power. Julie paused, taking a moment to let the pleasure she was experiencing take root. Now, write. You're going to force me to write a suicide note and then you're going to kill me? You're going to kill me, Julie? She kept saying the words kill me, hoping that Julie would realize how ridiculous it really was. Just write the note, Christina, and make it good. I don't know what to say. Funny, you've never struck me as a type to ever be at a loss for words. Get into the moment. Think about it all ending by your own hand. Then write what you feel. Christina did not know what to do other than what she was being told. Her 38 was upstairs, the dogs were outside, Larry wasn't coming back, and she was at the mercy of Julie's every whim. At least for now, until she could think of some way out of this. Okay, I'll do it. But don't stand right over me, and give me some time to think. Fine, but think hard, and don't take too long. Christina prayed before she picked up the pen. She asked for forgiveness for whatever she might have to do to save herself, and then she began to write. And amazingly, she did feel like it was real. She wrote the letter like these were the last words she would ever get to say, and she had to admit that they might be, so she couldn't take a chance at leaving anything out. Julie milled about the house as Christina wrote. She was a bundle of well-compressed nerves. There was a large part of her that felt completely at ease, although what she was doing and thinking was completely alien to her. But another part of her screamed inside her head, "What are you doing? Have you lost your damn mind?" And she was beginning to think that maybe she had. Maybe she had. "Nay, where are the sandwiches?" "What? The sandwiches, Naomi. I can't find them." "Ugh. Harold, honey, I rushed out so fast I forgot to make them." "Damn, Naomi. What are we supposed to eat while the game's on?" "Well, is Tony there yet? I can ask her to make them." "Sandwiches are way too complicated for Tony. You know that. Just come on back and make them yourself." "All right. I was going to drop off the beer before I go to Christina's anyway. I'll be there in about 20 minutes or so." "You know, you have a really nice home, Christina. Too bad you didn't appreciate it, or your husband." Christina looked up from her writing, ready to give a quick rebuttal, but thought better of it, because she knew Julie was right. "Looks like I hit a nerve." Julie grew more smug the more she felt in control of Christina. Control over a woman like Christina was a feat in itself, and it no longer mattered to Julie if she had to use a gun to obtain it, just so long as she had it. It was invigorating. The degree to which she enjoyed it was almost disturbing to her. "I'm done, Julie. Now what?" "Now we read it and have a good laugh, but not without a big bowl of hot buttered popcorn. You must have microwave popcorn. I know how much you like instant gratification." Lawrence tried 18 holes of golf, 3 bar rooms, and a bottle and a half of the cheapest rot gut liquor he could find, and still could not even momentarily obliterate the torment that racked him. The confirmation of Christina's double life had strangely been as gratifying as it was excruciating. He had always had questions in the back of his mind, and now he finally had the proof that all his doubts were in fact founded, and somehow he staggered upon some sort of solace in that. It was also what caused him the better part of his pain, because what hurt him even more than what she had actually done was that he had been aware of it on some level, but had chosen to discount it because he hadn't been strong enough to face it. So as good as it felt in some respect to finally know that he had been right, it was that same knowledge that caused him to feel more overwhelmingly pathetic, foolish, and humiliated than he would have ever dreamed possible. And in all of it, he had to admit that he shared some of the responsibility with Christina. The house was filled with the nauseating smell of too much butter. Julie had certainly made herself at home, even humming as she melted extra butter in the microwave to pour over the 2 bags of popcorn she had popped perfectly. "I brought you a bowl of popcorn like mine because I didn't know what kind you liked." Again, Julie was reliving her first meeting with Christina by saying what she remembered as Christina-like things. And still, Christina didn't notice. Soda? Whatever. Anytime. Now, let's hear what you had to say to your loved ones. You really expect me to read this aloud? To you? Why do you think I had you write it? If I didn't want to hear what you have to say, I would have told you what to write. Julie sat back in her chair with a handful of popcorn, the gun within her reach. No, I want to know your innermost feelings, Christina. They're very important to me. So Christina began. My dearest Lawrence, I never wanted to hurt you, sounds so trite, but remains so true. I, with the help of Naomi, came to realize that the only person I ever really wanted to hurt was myself, and maybe Granny Alma. I slept with all of those men because there was something missing in me. The belief that I could ever deserve someone to love me and take care of me the way you have all these years. For me, realizing my good fortune and being content with it would never work. Deep down, I was just waiting for you to wake up and realize what a mistake you had made in loving me, in choosing me. So I, in my own mind, made it possible for you to do that by doing the horrible things I did, so that you'd have a good reason when you decided to leave. I'm sorry to say that I believed you would leave eventually, no matter how good a wife I was. I take full responsibility for the choices I made. I was wrong and selfish, and I hurt you, probably irreparably. For that, I am truly sorry. My life before I knew you was the worst kind of miserable. I never told you all of it because I didn't want your pity. My Granny Alma never forgave me for being born, for being alive, for being me. And she made me pay for it every day. She brutalized me inside and out. My mother named me Christina, but only after Granny Alma first named me Dirty Butter, which was an allusion to the color of my skin. And she made everyone in the town where I grew up call me that too. Then, when I was 16, she ripped my newborn daughter from my arms as my mother watched, her fear of her mother-in-law trouncing her ability to protect her own daughter or granddaughter. But my mother was weak and timid, and I promised myself never to be like her. So I covered up my fears with my sexuality, the one thing that I thought I had going for me, the one thing that Granny Alma ever acknowledged I had an ample supply of. I'm not trying to put the blame on them, really. I just wanted you to know that what you got from the beginning was damaged goods, and I was wrong for you from the start. But just before you found out the truth about me, I had decided things were going to change. My friend Naomi helped me to see that my sins were forgiven, and all I had to do was repent and then ask for and accept the forgiveness that was waiting for me. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, God would never look upon my sins again. They'd be covered. I never thought God could love a person like me, but he does, and he always will, no matter what I was. And that gives me hope. For the first time in my pitiful life, I felt hope, and I was happy. I was ready to give you my all, but I waited too long. And my life caught up with me before I ever had the chance to make it right. But a second chance with you was more than I had a right to dream of. I was a terrible wife. I am as ashamed that that's true as I'm sorry that it's true. In closing, I ask that you give something special of mine to Naomi. Let her know that the love she showed me wasn't in vain and that it helped to change who I was at the end. Also, always know this. I have never loved anyone but you. You were the only good part of my life, the only pure thing about me. Larry, you gave me all I never knew to dream for, and you made happiness reachable, but I never had the strength to take hold of it. I'm sorry for that, too. None of this was your fault. None of it. So don't you go blaming yourself for any of it, Lawrence Daniel Lancaster. You were a wonderful, loving husband,
and I did absolutely nothing to deserve you. I have to go now. It's time for me to find peace. And without you, I'll never have it here. I will always love you, Flyboy. Please forgive me. Your Tina.
Christina looked up at Julie with tear-filled eyes, ready for the shot to the head that she was sure to come. Julie sat across from her, crying quietly, and what she did next surprised them both. Julie got up from the table, picked up her purse, placed the gun inside, and walked out the front door, leaving it open without looking back. Christina dropped her head to the table and sobbed with abandon. A cry for the hurt she had caused her husband, Julie Forrester, the many other faceless women, and herself. Naomi parked in Christina's driveway and saw a woman standing at her car parked in front of the house. The look on the woman's face could only be described as stricken. Naomi got out of her car and called out to the woman, "Miss?" The woman jerked her head toward the sound of Naomi's voice. She called back, "Are you Naomi?"
"Yes, I am."
"I thought so." She quickly looked away toward Christina's house and then got into her car even more quickly and drove away. Naomi felt more than a little concerned by the woman's reaction, and her concern grew when she noticed that Christina's front door was standing wide open. As she entered the foyer, Naomi called out, "Christina?" Christina looked up at the sound of Naomi's voice.
"Honey, what happened?"
"Oh, Naomi, will you please get me out of here?
Are you sure you want to go out like this?"
"Yes, I can't stay in this house another second."
Christina told Naomi everything that happened, and not once did Naomi butt in or ask questions. She just listened. A couple of hours later, when Christina had no more to tell, Naomi drove her back to her house, promising to come back to check on her the next day. The evening was growing darker, and the day had been long. The night promised to be longer. Naomi had noticed Lawrence's Sequoia parked in the driveway, but Christina didn't. She allowed Christina to go into the house without making mention of it because she was afraid that otherwise Christina wouldn't go in. And Naomi knew she had to, and she had to do it now, or she might not get another chance. Christina unlocked and opened the door, turned to wave goodbye to Naomi, then walked inside and saw Larry standing beside the dining room table with her forgotten letter in his hands. He looked up at her. All traces of anger had been wiped clean from his face by his tears. Tears of distress. Tears of comprehension. And there were tears of absolution. They seemed transfixed to the places where they stood until Larry held out his hand and Christina rushed to him. They held each other deliberately, and Christina looked up into the kindest eyes she had ever known and said, "Happy birthday, Larry." You've been listening to our final episode of Dirty Butter. For the next couple of weeks, I'll be sharing poetry or micro stories. After that, we'll dive straight into Mountains on the Moon. If you're enjoying my content, please subscribe, follow, share, or review. Much love, and thank you for listening. This is Daphne Marie Doucette. Don't go quietly. Tell your story.